This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
This is the hutch where my pet stoat lives. And there is the bottle of water on the outside of his hutch, like a little hospital drip. And that is my dad opening his hutch door to give him his dinner. Looking at a film of my stoat, and he's eating a boiled egg my dad has given him. He is very hungry, and it is winter, so he is white, but he has black around his ear hole. There, that ear. Now you can see it, and he also has a black tip on his tail. My stoat is called Black Ear. And now here comes the dog from next door. He is called Henry. And he is ugly brown. happens when you have failed in your obligations to it. To this memory, sorry to this voice. Maybe that is why it is sad. Perhaps you need to lay it to rest.
Wolf. Good afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And today's programme features more spoken word records, and that first one is a new release on Ode Scrat Records, Gradely Murmurings from a Dark Corner of the Land. Futile Exorcise by Paul Rooney. Well, it's actually released on the 3rd of April 2017. And there's a statement by Ode Scrat, not Old Scrat, but OWD Scrat Records. We at Ode Scrat are very proud to present our first full-length LP, which is also the first by musician, artist, writer Paul Rooney, under his own full name, in beautiful, frosted, transparent vinyl and CD digipack, an album of revenant songs in which various dead people return from beyond the grave to visit their lover, play poker, or haunt a toilet seat. The record features many collaborators, including actor Gregory Cox, ethereal harmonisers Lutine, and has a cover image by artist Leo Fitzmaurice. Okay, so that was that particular track was called Black Ear, track 6 on the CD from Futile Exorcise. I'll play another track from that later. Maybe, let me see, what should I play? Spit Valve, perhaps. But in the meantime, other spoken word tracks are forthcoming by poet Kenneth Rex Roth, author and poet George Oppen. A new CD by Ruchi Sakamoto, and I think I'll play a Sakamoto track next. And this is also a new release called Async, and two of the tracks on this CD feature spoken words, as it were. And this first track is called Full Moon, music by Ruchi Sakamoto, with words from The Sheltering Sky by Paul Bowles. Thank you.
because we don't know when we will die, we get to think of life as an inexhaustible well. Yet everything happens only a certain number of times, and a very small number, really. How many more times will you remember a certain afternoon of your childhood? Some afternoon that's so deeply a part of your being that you can't even conceive of your life without it. Perhaps four or five times more, perhaps not even that. How many more times will you watch the full moon rise? Perhaps 20. And yet it all seems limitless.
Знание точного срока смерти дает нам возможность смотреть на жизнь, как на нищую пальмы колодец. Хотя все в жизни случается, некоторое количество раз, причем на самом-то деле очень большое количество. Сколько раз ты еще вспомнишь какой-нибудь вечер, ставший такой глубинной частью всего твоего существа, что ты даже не можешь представить себе жизнь без него. Ну, 4, ну, 5 раз, может быть, даже меньше. Сколько раз еще ты посмотришь в восход? Ну, раз 20. Все равно жизнь кажется бесконечной.
No sabemos cuándo vamos a morir. Nos toca creer que la vida es un pozo sin fondo. Sin embargo, las cosas ocurren solo un determinado número de veces. ¿Cuántas veces más recordarás cierta tarde? Una tarde que formó una parte tan arañable de tu ser que ni siquiera puedes imaginar la vida sin ella. Quizás 4 o 5 veces más. Quizás eso. ¿Cuántas veces más verás salir la luz de Jesús? Quizás 20. Sin embargo, todo parece inevitable.
Peut-être jamais. Combien de fois regarderas-tu encore la pleine lune? Une fois peut-être. Et tout cela semble illimité.
Við vitum ekki hvenær við deyjum. Þess vegna fyrir okkur að finnast lífið vera óþrjótandi brunn. Samt gerist allt aðeins nokkrum sinnum. Í örfá skipti mér að segja. Hversu oft myndu rifja upp sérstætt síðdegi bernsku þar? Síðdegi sem er svo samóðið veru þinni. Þú getur vart hugsaði lífið eins og þess. Kannski 4 sinnum. Eða 5 sinnum. Ég fylg ekki svo oft. Hversu oft myndu sér fullan mánar í svo henni? Kannski 20 sinni. Samt verðist allt óþrjóðan.
Poiché non sappiamo, finiamo per pensare alla vita come a un pozzo inesaurito. Eppure ogni cosa accade soltanto un certo numero di volte e un bel piccolo numero di effetti. Quante altre volte ricorderai un certo pomeriggio della tua infanzia, qualche pomeriggio che sia così profondamente parte del tuo essere per cui tu non possa nemmeno concepire la tua vita senza credere. Forse altre 4 o 5 volte, forse nemmeno. Quante altre volte guarderai sorgere la luna piena? Forse 20. E tuttavia, tutto sembra senza limiti.
Thank you. There is, in the matter of my anatomical form, something that needs frank admission. On the physical front, I have changed in a rather extreme way. I have taken on the form of a trumpet. Apologies. I have taken on the form of a quantity of pooled liquid situated inside a trumpet. I am fairly sure. Inside the pipework. In other words, my body is now a small quantity of water within some brass tubing. Water constituted from a mixture of breath condensation and spittle. Yes, that is it. I seem to have occupied this form from the moment that enough liquid had accumulated inside my brass tube to sustain my existence, which was about 23 seconds ago. Though it is clear that a mistake of substantial proportions has occurred, I do not, in my current life state, have much recourse for appeal. 1 minute I was admitting to a building control officer that I had failed to inform him of the fitting of a 13-amp plug on a built-in electric oven I had installed, which I did not realise had to be notified under Part P of the regulations. The next minute, I was here. I do not even play the oboe, or rather, the trumpet. At least I do not recall doing so, unless my mental faculties have been slightly affected by my metamorphosis. This is possible on the face of it. I have certainly been speculating, in the few seconds that have elapsed since being installed here, about the reason for my perplexing situation. I fancy I will not have the time to truly get to the bottom of it. Evidently, or as far as I understand, my existence as this small pool of unpleasantly odored liquid will be fairly brief, because at any moment the trombonist will open what he calls the spit valve, appropriately named, and blow me away into an airborne spray. I meant trumpeter there, of course. At which point my identity will dissipate to such an extent that I will cease to exist as a unified persona. I am confidently assuming that this personality dissipation will occur. It will be difficult to imagine a spray of water drops, molecules even, cohering in any way, particularly after they hit the quite possibly porous ground and soak into its surface. Apparently, notifiable work is being done by a qualified, non-RP registered electrician or DIYer, subject to application to building control before starting the work. Unless it is part of a larger job like an extension, in which case it is included in the main application. Even wiring the plug these days is quite a minefield. It is definitely a trumpet. Hold on, I can feel some movement. The tubing is shifting into a horizontal position. The trumpeter's mouth is pressing on the... what is it? The cup? There. A lovely little tube. Definitely a trumpet. He plays it rather slowly and haltingly. Hauntingly, I would say. Each time the tuba player plays a little, I feel my brass body tingle with the sound waves. No, this is incorrect. What What I am feeling is my liquid body expanding with a touch more spittle, but mostly with breath moisture. My tiny watery mass also vibrates quite shockingly as the air is blown past me, but you would expect that. I am not the air, the breath. I am the condensation that results from it. I am now fairly certain of this. Fingers a bit stiff there, I can hear the previous side.
I dreamt, and this I dream, and sometime this I will dream again, and all will be repeated, all be re-embodied. You will dream everything I have seen in dream. Side from ourselves, to one side from the world. Wave follows wave to break on the shore. On each wave is a star, a person, a bird, dreams, reality, death, on wave after wave. A wonder of wonders, and to wonder I dedicate myself on my knees like an orphan, alone among mirrors, fenced in by reflections, cities and seas, iridescent, intensified. A mother in tears takes a child on her lap. Thank you.
now on, the latter part of the program will be Japanese. And the band will be part of it, but the lead will largely be Koto and Shakuhachi. The first piece is called Void Only, and it refers to the Mahayana Buddhist doctrine that reality is void only. And then in the two poems, or two parts, various other philosophical ideas of Buddhism are introduced in kind of little symbols. The melody is one of the earliest commuta Koto melodies called Akikaze, Autumn Winds, or Rakudan. It's usually known as Rakudan now. Void Only. Quiet, anywhere, anything happens. Quiet, loud, still, turbulent. The serpent coils on itself. All things are translucent, then transparent, then gone. Only emptiness, no limit. Only the infinitely faint song of the coiling mind, only. I cannot escape from you. When I think I am alone, I awake to discover I am lost in the jungle of your love, in its darkness, jeweled with the eyes of unknown beasts. I awake to discover I am a forest ascetic in the impenetrable void only, the single thought of which nothing can be said. Someone said in something, I don't remember what, some organ of the establishment in New York said that I just issued a new book of thighs and breasts poetry, and it was terribly embarrassing because I wrote these very erotic poems, and they all seemed to be to my wife. And what would one do if one met her socially? It's a funny place, you know. Them Easterners, they ain't like us. I will now read some poems of a very remarkable woman. I don't think there's any question, she is the greatest poet of modern times to write in Tonka form. She started out as a very young woman, a girl, in Osaka High School, girls' high school, and published a book called Midare Game, Tangled Hair, and these are intensely erotic love poems. She was a leading feminist, a world-leading feminist, and she also was the first person to ever, outside of a political pamphlet, criticize the emperor. She wrote a long poem blaming the Russo-Japanese War on the emperor, who really didn't have very much to do with it one way or another. The Japanese emperor does not govern. And she also wrote a great deal in defense of the 12 so-called anarchists who were actually socialists, who were executed sort of for moral complicity in an attempt to assassinate the emperor. The man was a madman. He had no connection with them at all. It was a great world sensation along about 1912. Sort of like the Sacco Vanzetti case. I can just dimly remember it when I was a little boy. I can remember my family talking about it.
Now, the next poems are by a young woman who uses the pen name of Marichiko. And Marichi Ten, or Marichi Ben, sometimes it's Marichi, is an Indian pre-Aryan goddess of the dawn who became a bodhisattva in Buddhism, in Japanese Buddhism, and the patron of geisha, prostitutes, women in childbirth, lovers, and she sort of covered her bets by also becoming the patroness of samurai. Well, her poetry is like nobody else in contemporary Japan. Watashi wa watashi, anata wa anata, demo anata wa watashi ni tote, futari wa watashi tachi ni naru. Who is there? Me. Me who? I am me, you are you, but you take my pronoun, and we are us. Anata no atama o watashi no mata ni shikari hasami anata no kuchi ni watashi o tsukyoku oshitsukeru to watashi wa rana hana no funi ni no te Tokoshie ni tengoku no kawa wo tadayote yuku. I hold your head tight between my thighs and press against your mouth and float away forever in an orchid boat on the river of heaven. Mai asa me zameru to tada tori kono de watashi no kuchibiro oshitukeru anata no kanba kanbina karada data no wa yume no naka. Every morning I wake alone dreaming my arm is your sweet flesh pressing my lips.
okay? We're recording. It's a lovely sunny day on the tour bus, the city tour. It's always sunny here, Aileen, the tour guide says, but sometimes the sun is behind the clouds. She says this with a wry smile, utterly charming. And here we go. The statue coming into view is in Carrara marble. He has his lovely dog beside him, marvellously pretty. You have to be called Margaret to be a cleaner in the castle on the hill to the left. It's a rule they have there. Rich in tradition, this place, unquestionably. I'm sat here with my video camera recording it all for posterity. Or, I sometimes imagine, as part of some larger, secretively unspecified knowledge-gathering process. I have a fertile imagination. The English opium eater confessed there on the left. He admitted it was 15 quid for a dead body. Gosh. Alistair Sim, born in the cinema to the right. RG Cinema 2. Well, well. Talks us through it all, yes indeed, in her brown fleece and dark brown glasses. She says we have to retrain ourselves to stop and look at the places we visit, but the bus keeps going. She's perverse like that. You can't have a cathedral without a bishop, she says. There's no bishop, but it's still a cathedral. Remarkable. I have dim recollections too, as I listen to alien stories, of rambling around godforsaken towns, decks of cards and women's lies. Vague memories of an apprenticeship in an attic room in a city far from here. Writing jokes for crackers, or dedications for gravestones, or both. The pub on the corner on our right, Defoe used to drink there, Aileen tells us. He was a secret agent for the Empire. That's why he became a writer. He learned to observe and report through spying, then got a taste for the treason of art. Betraying with its immaculate deception. A blue blazer was hanging outside this other pub. It's there to the right. But Percy Shelley never went inside. He couldn't have. He was underage.
If tears could build a stairway and memories create a lane, we would walk right up to heaven and bring him home again.
Aileen sings a song to us as we go. Dim recollections impinge more and more often, of some other time, some other life before the bus. Some memories are clearer to me than others, and get clearer by the day. These recollections seem like songs that have been taped over on an audio tape, songs that can start to become audible again as the tape degrades with age. Spurts of choruses screaming through the verses of the songs covering them, like the clashing discord of a congested radio dial. I remember pretty clear fragments, for example, of watching a tourist video on a TV set. A shaky camera's panning up and down spires. We see the fuzzy washed out winter colours, mausoleum greys, guard uniform blues. We hear the young man talking as he's filming, telling us about what we're looking at. He is videoing an old city not unlike this one, the capital of an empire, the Eastern Union of Republics, that we from the Western Economic Community, where I come from, were enemies with. The two empires had missiles pointed at each other, so that fear contaminated the air of the whole world. The man with the video camera was allowed to be there because he'd been invited to a youth conference to promote peace between young people in our empire and theirs. The WEC was not at war with the EUR, they were just irreconcilable enemies. So the fellow's going round this place in the EUR, on a tour bus I think, telling us about the sights. Mostly jagged mountain brown government buildings, sullenly brooding in the grey winter light. The camera pans down into some public gardens below a dark castle right at the heart of the city, and zooms in on the craggy face of the volcanic rock the castle's built on. Suddenly the man behind the lens says, an extraordinary business. There's an aeroplane, it's landed. And sure enough, a little bright white Cessna's flying round the shadowed public gardens, slight as brand new polystyrene on an endless grey-green sea. It lands near the bandstand at the west end of the gardens, and everyone rushes over to see who it is. It turns out to be a chap from the WEC, saying he wants to promote peace and understanding. He says he's just a man with a plane, not a spy, just a man on his own. And the people of the capital of the EU have hardly seen any foreign people. So they ask him what it's like to live in the WEC. The man's eyebrows nervously rise as he looks around the gathered crowd, his tongue pushing out his bottom lip like a child in thought. What's green and can fly? A cucumber in a Cessna, the pilot says. Want to hire a Cessna? Standing on some bricks. Will you be able to fly away free? One woman asked him. But then the EUR soldiers arrive and take the chap away, because obviously he's not allowed to fly his plane from the WEC all the way into the heart of the capital of the EUR.
Why are you six scared of seven? The pilot asks the soldiers, with fear in his voice as he is dragged away. Because 7, 8, 9.
To the world he was but one, to us he was not the world, a bystander says. And some of the soldiers then see the man with the video camera on the bus. They start shouting at him and running over to the vehicle, because, of course, he's not allowed to film things like the fellow flying his plane all the way into the heart of the capital of their empire. The soldiers storm the tour bus and take his camera off him, and then probably destroy his videotape. He in his prime was called away. That's all I remember, but it's as clear as a spring morning. We go round and round on the tour bus, the same route, always the same, nothing different. It's all lovely though, of course. Always sunny, always beautiful. I don't get on or off. I've never been on or off. Not that I can remember. And I would remember that. I record and re-record over the same tape again and again. But it's always the same footage in every last detail. The tour never changes one tiny bit. A modicum of variety would ameliorate any numbing monotony, if there were any monotony. I'm not saying there is. Variety wouldn't be a problem, is all I'm saying. Being able to get off the bus, one could say that this would be some variety. This is a for instance. And sometimes, as yet another tour winds its way round, I think of the man who flew the plane into that tourist's video. I think of the fear on his face. And sometimes I think that maybe that chap with the video camera was me. Maybe I never saw the video on TV or anywhere else. Maybe I was the one behind the camera. That's how I can remember it all so clearly. And then I think that this, me being on this bus, this is my punishment for being there, for videoing it all. My punishment for being a spy. I could have been slapped about so much by the soldiers when they stormed the bus that I fell into a coma. And my dream, in my coma, is of the tourist bus endlessly going round this capital city, which is probably the capital of the EU, going by that massive castle over there. My coma dream looping forever, like an Oasis drum machine, until the power is turned off. Then I realised that's all rather silly. Silly. How can you know if you're in a dream? Only at the moment of waking, I would guess. Am I about to wake up? No, still here. And I point the camera at Aileen, and she sings her song, and we go round and round. Thoughts return to scenes long past. Years roll on, but memories last. In a way, I'd like it to be true that I was, that I am, a spy. Turning over secrets, that's what I want to be doing, so we can find any. Smuggling them through borders in the dark, bringing them all back home to a hero's welcome. Then wondering who will play me in the film.
The souls of the dead haunt the place where they died, Aileen says, as she points over at the display boards for the walking ghost tours. The souls carry on doing what they were doing just before they left us, repeating their
lift up mine eyes up to yonder hills. I look up from my viewfinder every now and then, hoping for the speck of white in the sky, quickly looming towards us, like a chip of lens glare splintering out at us from the ever-blazing sun. Another plane to video. Then there would be more soldiers to take me away, to somewhere else. Rest after weariness, sweet rest at last.
Listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And that last track was Lost High Street by Paul Rooney on Futile Exorcise, a new release on Ode Scrat Records. And that is the longest track on that. And I'm going to end up with another cassette recording. Before that, we heard Kenneth Rexroth, American poet. And finally, we're going to hear from George Oppen, selected readings from 1979.
Political poem. For sometimes over the fields a stride of love begin with nothing or everything, the nerve, the thread reverberates in the unfinished voyage loneliness of becalmed ships and the violent men and women of the city's doorsteps. Unexpected, this sad and hungry wolf walks in my footprints, fear. Fear, birds, stones, and the sunlit earth turning that great loneliness, all or nothing confronts us, the image, the day, dawns on the doorsteps, its sharpness, dazes, and nearly blinds us. Disasters of wars, O western wind and storm of politics, I am sick with the poet's vanity, legislators of the unacknowledged world. It is dreary to descend and be a stranger. How shall we descend who have become strangers in this wind that rises like a gift in the disorder, the gales of a poet's vanity? If our story shall end untold, to whom and to what are we ancestral? We wanted to know if we were any good out there. The song changes, the wind is blowing the sand about, and we are alone. The sea dawns in the sunrise, verse with its rough beach light, crystal extreme, sands dazzling under the near and not less brutal feet, journey in light and wind and fire and water and air, the five bright elements, the marvel of the obvious and the marvel of the hidden. Is there, in fact, a distinction? Dance of the wasp wings, dance as of the mother tongues, can they, with all their meanings, dance? Oh, I see my love, I see her go over the ice alone. I see myself, Sarah, I see the tent in the desert. My life narrows, my life is another. I see him in the desert, I watch him, he is clumsy and alone, my young brother, he is my lost sister, her small voice among the people, the salt and terrible hills whose armies have marched in the caves of the hidden people. the poem. How shall I light this room that measures years and years, not miracles, nor were we judged, but a direction of things in us burning, burning, for we are not still, nor is the place a wind, utterly outside ourselves, and yet it is unknown, and all the sails full to the last rag of the topgallant royal topsail, the least rags at the mastheads, to save the commonplace, save myself, tiger, tiger still burning in me, burning in the night sky, burning in us, the light in the room. It was all part of the wars of things, brilliance of things, in the appalling sea's language lives and wakes us together. Out of sleep, the poem opens its dazzling, whispering hands. To make much of the world of that passion, that light within and without, no need of lamps and daylight, writing year after year the poem discovered in the crystal center of the rock, image and image of the transparent present, though we speak of the abyss of the hungry, we see their feet, their tired feet in the news, and mountain and valley and sea as in universal storm, the father said, we are old, we are shriveled, come. To the shining of rails in the night, the shining way, the way away from home, arrow in the air, hat brim flooded in the air as she ran forward, and it seemed so beautiful, the sunlit air. It was no dream, all's wild out there as we, unlikely image of love, found the way away from home. Waking, who knows the great open doors of the tall buildings and the grid of the streets, the seed is a place, the stone is a place, mind will burn the world down alone and transparent. We'll burn the world down, though the starlight is part of ourselves.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.